Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We will have Corey Curtis from News 2 for his weekly visit coming up in the next hour at 8 o'clock. Joe Rexroad will have the Rex Rant coming up later in the program as well. Some news on Friday, Joe Rexroad. Number one, it was announced that the Nashville Predators had hired Rob Blake as their executive vice president of hockey operations. So Chris McFarland comes in, and he immediately identifies Rob Blake as the executive VP of hockey ops. Blake, obviously, hockey Hall of Fame defenseman, and then he was in management, most notably with L.A. from 20 – I mean, he was there forever, but he was the general manager and VP of hockey ops from, I think, 2017 through 2025. Like, he was there for a while. So a lot of experience in management. He was an AGM with the Kings when they won the Stanley Cup in 2014. So he's a guy that, you know, obviously pretty good hockey pedigree there in terms of, number one, as a player, being a Hall of Famer, but number two, being the, you know, one of the architects of teams that won the Cup in L.A. and then serving as general manager after that. So a lot of experience there. A lot of people very happy with the Rob Blake hire when it comes to executive VP of hockey ops. So that was the first news item on Friday. And then let's see, look, when this email came in on Friday. I believe it was 5:30 on Friday. So the old Friday news dump, Joe. And it was the announcement of Brian Poyle's departure from the Nashville Predators. So the Predators put it out there that Brian Poyle leaving the organization, and obviously Preds fans had a lot of reaction to that one. It was the first time that the Predators haven't had a Poyle in the organization to some degree. So, Joe, your thoughts on the hiring of Rob Blake and Brian Poyle moving on from the organization?
Yeah, well, the Rob Blake hire is certainly the bigger news there. You figured, you know, like there was going to be a name TBD in that spot as McFarland's number two, and it's seems like a good hire, you know, tremendous pedigree for him. So just another, to me, another, there you go. This is your crew now, you know, at the top of the personnel department for the Nashville Predators. It's new blood and, you know, some people who have experienced a lot of success, not success all the time, but a lot of success. And then Brian Poyle, yeah, it's honestly kind of interesting. Like you said, it's a news dump. Also, I was kind of like, how often do you get a separate news release on, you know, like someone in a personnel department departing an organization? Not often.
Not very often.
And clearly, you know, obviously David Poyle's son, so there's the history of David Poyle and everything. I'm not hugely surprised that that's the case.
No.
A couple questions I have. One, is he going to continue in personnel? Like, what's next for him would be a question. And also, does this mean the other two guys are sticking around, or how is that going to look? The fact that they made this announcement, once we get that, we have a week of, we know, find out now who the top two are in terms of Preds personnel. We know that there were three essentially, number twos in different capacities for, yep, Barry Trotz. What is to become of the other two if we have a press release on one of them leaving?
It's a great question. Here's my immediate response is to that. I knew that nothing was going to happen right now with Jeff Kelty because he's basically running the draft. Right?
Running the draft.
He's been at the NHL Combine. And so, like, it makes no sense to move on from Kelty right now. I think Nickel's good. Like I think they really like Scott Nickel in terms of, you know, I think there's a chance he could be a GM one day. So I'm interested to see what happens there. I don't know. Like, once you get beyond the draft, is it just a total revamp of your front office structure? Or are you just going to leave Kelty and Nickel in place and kind of build out from there? I mean, look, they've already redefined the structure. Like, McFarland is in charge, and now he's got his number two, right? So, I mean, the organizational dominoes have shifted dramatically with McFarland coming in. But even now with Blake in, like, Blake's his handpicked guy. I said it from the start. There will be at least one handpicked guy from McFarland that comes in here, and it didn't take him very long to do it. So that's clearly been his plan for a while, is when he got a general manager job, Rob Blake was coming with him. So I like all that. I am interested to see if one or both of Kelty and Nickel hang around here. I wouldn't be surprised if one of them did, but I think Kelty in particular right now, with the work he's doing on the draft, I mean, it makes no sense to move on from him at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, yeah. So after you get through the draft, then what's it going to look like? Is Brian Poyle not helpful in the draft?
Well, yeah, you know, I don't know. That's what Jeff Kelty does, though. Like, that's like he's run their player personnel, their player development, their draft for a while. So, like, that's what he does. But it is interesting that, you know, they're just like, well, we'll just go ahead and move on from Brian, and then we'll figure out the other two as time goes on here. That part of it is interesting. That's a good observation.
Or is it like Brian's like, okay, well, if this is how it's going to shake out, then, you know, sayonara. I don't know.
Could be.
I thought Brian Poyle was more in charge of, like, the pro contracts.
Yeah.
And dealing with pro personnel contracts and kind of that stuff.
Well,
more than the draft.
I would agree. And I do think he's going to land somewhere. Like, he's got to, you know, he's been in the game long enough at this point, and he's got a background. I think it's good enough where he's going to land somewhere, and he's going to be in personnel. And then we'll see if he ultimately one day climbs the ladder well enough to be a general manager, right? I mean, his last name and the work that he's done is going to get him a job somewhere. I don't know exactly where that's going to be, but there's no doubt, like, he'll be another AGM somewhere. I'm interested to see where that is. You know, like, the McFarland part, here's one thing that ultimately, Joe, I don't know how much it matters, because ultimately it's going to be judged on how much do you win, right? And we're going to get into some comments to that end here in just a few minutes. But, like, how much does Chris McFarland win is going to ultimately determine what his tenure here looks like. I will say this, though, and I think this is just a commentary on things we've been talking about with this franchise for a long time. And that is, you know, the fan base has gotten in a spot where, like, that mushy middle is, I think it's been very detrimental. And I think it's, you know, it's become a big enough fan base where I don't know that you're ever again going to have to worry about, like, all the stuff you worried about in 2007 or 2008 when it's like, good Lord, are they going to be able to fill the building enough where, you know, they're not going to move the team somewhere else? Like, I think we're way beyond that. But I do think there was a significant portion of the fan base that just looked at it and said, "Yeah, it's hard for me to care as much as I used to, because number one, they're just not very good. Like, they're right there in the middle all the time. And number two, like, the prices everywhere have gone up, and that's not just a Predators thing. It's just everywhere. It's where everything's going up. So I think that combination of things, there have been a lot of Predators fans that in some ways, Joe, have kind of been checked out a little bit over the last few years. And I have heard from so many people, and it was reinforced after the Rob Blake thing. And a lot of these people, Joe, really don't even know who Rob Blake is. Like, they know who he was, a hockey player. They don't know, like, his management background. But they're like, their response to me was, thank God they're doing something different. I think that this hire has totally revitalized this fan base. I really do. And again, how much does that matter if they don't win? Not at all. But I do think that this place had reached the point where something like this was absolutely going to be a shot in the arm with this fan base. And it has been.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point. You know, there are Preds fans who have season tickets who, and we've heard from them some, it's like, I want, like, I don't want to spend a year watching bad hockey. Like, I want the hockey to, like, I want to have some chance, some stakes, some success, you know? There's that, but I think there's a much bigger portion of the fan base that, like you said, has become so sick of, like, how do we get out of this? How do we change the math and just go in a new direction? And this is clearly now giving them that. There's just no doubt about it. And again, it's not just a new direction, but it's a new direction, like, with some backing, with some data and some success behind it. Like, that is exciting. Doesn't guarantee anything, but it's exciting. Predemption, real quick, is hoping that on the YouTube chat, is hoping his that the not his, but the Vancouver Canucks put Brian Poyle in charge of their cap. Grandfather was a Canucks first ever GM in franchise history. Maybe some family luck will rub off. So
maybe so.
There you go.
They need
I think
help.
It's good. Well, it is good. Look, like we've talked about. I just think here it's one of those impossible things
yes.
when that's your last name. It's impossible. Like, it's just going to be, regardless of what you do in your job on a daily basis, the nepotism thing you can't do it. But now going somewhere else, I think is good for him.
I agree.
And just go in there and just see what you can do. And it'll be interesting to follow along from afar.
So speaking of shot in the arm, I mean, there's a lot of excitement about this new era of Nashville Predators hockey. And a prominent voice in the NHL thinks the Preds may be a sleeping giant here. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at 102.5 The Game for live shows and exclusive content. You can join our legendary YouTube chat as well here on the program. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025 on the Nashville Predators. Let's head to our phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. Yeah, you were talking about, I think this may be the first time I can remember, maybe forever, if you stop and look, people are excited about the Predators right now. I think the next big move will be what he decides to do with the coach. If he wants to keep him or he wants to get a different one. People are excited about the Titans. People are excited about Vanderbilt. When is that, all of that, and talk of maybe still getting Major League Baseball? When has this been this exciting for Nashville?
It's a good question. I mean, especially that combination of things, it's a very rare occurrence, I would say.
I'm 64 years old, and to have Vanderbilt where they're at right now, with the Preds, what they're doing, the Titans are exciting right now, and It's a different era right now in Nashville.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
I mean, a couple of things on that I would say, Joe. On the Vanderbilt front, there are demonstrated results to be excited about, right? Like, the football team just had a great year. Basketball team has demonstrated results. Women's basketball, all those things. So, like, there's actually data on the Vanderbilt front. I think a lot of the Titans and the Predators' excitement right now is just exclusively hope. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying I would differentiate those two things.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I would argue, not to be that guy, but I would argue that, you know, going back a few years ago when, like, the Preds were really good and the Titans were winning playoff games would be more excitement. But people are hoping – you know, they're certainly hoping. I mean, the thing is, the Titan, you know, we're talking about this new direction for the Preds, which took forever to get to. And it's just, so it's pretty momentous.
Yeah.
If you've been following this franchise for a long time, because it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, you couldn't be too mad about, like, the continuity and the people who were in charge of the franchise, because they did do a good job. And they're people that are very easy to like. But it also... You were ready for a new direction. Whereas with the Titans, I mean, there's a new direction every 5 minutes. turn there, pivot here, go here. It's like, actually, in a way, like, totally the opposite of
they
each
really
other,
were.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, you got one franchise that has this stability, but it's, okay, it's time to shake things up. And one, stop shaking things up. Stop it. Stop shaking the magic eight ball, please.
Some middle ground, so, please.
Yes.
Just get some middle ground.
Yeah, but and maybe the people in charge of both places right now are good.
Oh, by the way, Vengen has put together a Predators fan off-season survey, so make sure you check that out at Adam Vengen's Twitter account.
And the station Twitter.
And the station on 102.5 The Game. So Interesting questions in this survey for Predators fans to fill out there. Speaking of interesting, there is a very popular hockey podcast called Spit and Chicklets. It's got Ryan Whitney on there and Paul Bissonnette and Keith Yandel. And I enjoy listening to those guys. Like, they do a pretty good job for the most part covering the league. And obviously, Bissonnette is on TNT's NHL coverage as well. And he's become, you know, a pretty large media guy, right, Joe? I mean, people, he's very entertaining. Yep. Like, I like
my brother in gout.
Yeah, your brother in gout. Like, a lot of things going for Biz on this front. And they were talking about the hiring of Chris McFarland by the Predators and what they think this could mean. Here is what the guys on Spit and Chicklets had to say.
This one kind of very confusing to me. Then I read more about it. Chris McFarland leaves the Colorado Avalanche and becomes the president and the GM, I believe, of Nashville. And I was like, why are you leaving? Is it lateral? No, he just has more power. And Nashville had obviously waited for a reason. Everyone was like, why haven't they hired a GM? Well, they had their guy they wanted. Colorado loses, and he moves on. Were you surprised by that?
I was surprised. But I think that as one of the best GMs and, of course, now presidents in the league, getting to go to a place as desirable and off the grid as Nashville with the support they get, no state tax, I think that he could turn that team into a wagon in like 3-4 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that is a very undercover organization that I could see quickly on the rise, especially with that hire. When you're a GM going in a situation with that much money to play with, given the salary cap and no state tax, I think that is a great, great situation for them to lock in and land their guy. I just see a lot of guys wanting to play there in the future.
100%.
We never mention their name when you talk about like, oh, Matthews, where do we think he ends up? Where do you think Larkin ends up? We never talk about Nashville. I think that they could pretty quickly here turn it around and create a wagon.
Well, don't trade Riker Lee. That kid, I love that. I watch that kid. I think he's going to be a stud.
So that were the guys on Spit and Chicklets there. Shout out to Riker Lee at the end of
that.
But
Spartan
legend. I would say, Joe, that's a very optimistic take by Bissonnette there, talking about, hey, 3-4 years, he could turn this team into a wagon, and you know the desirability of playing here. We've seen that, right? Like that's become a thing. You know, Friedman has talked about that too. Like people he talks to, and this is not just him saying. Like he's brought this up on 32 Thoughts podcast. Like there are no doubt right now in the NHL, and the no state tax thing is part of it, but it's not the whole thing. Like the no state tax thing is part of it, but there are certain places in the league right now, Joe, where players want to go to, right? Like it just is. Like, and some of it, I mean, at the end of it, at the end of the day, the bottom line is, do they think they can win there? Like, that's the most important thing. But I mean, there are some advantages to playing where there's no state tax. Like, there are, like, Stamkos has outright said it before. Like, one of the reasons he's here is, yeah, he wanted to come win, but he also, like, he heard great things about living here. Like, that's another thing. So, It was interesting to hear that from Bissonnette over the weekend of like how much the desirability of playing here could play into the construction of the roster. I would say it's a very optimistic take. Like, you know, you're talking about being like, if you're going wagon, I'm thinking Stanley Cup contender in 3 years. Like, that's what comes to mind. And he did bring up Matthews. We've talked a lot about that. Like, what'd you make of what the Spit and Chicklets boys had to say right there, Joe?
I'm sold. He brought up Larkin too.
It's true.
Yeah, it's an optimistic take, but I think it's absolutely a real thing. It's just that you have to have the team for, you know, some of these guys to look at and say, okay, I can see it. You know, you have to be able to see it on the ice. Like you have to allow the city to recruit for you. I mean, if you're what they are now, which is an aging, really non-competitive, non-playoff team, that's still going to be a tough sell.
Yep.
You know, as we've talked about with these, you know, some of these guys out there that might end up looking around the league, if you can demonstrate, okay, there's some really promising young players, if you can look like the Preds looked, you know, in like 14-15, you know, where they gave the Blackhawks a real pain in the butt in that series, and you see all these young guys, you're like, man, look at that. Like, what could they be in a few years? You know, you need that. And the only way probably to get to that is, again, I keep going back to anything with the Preds. Like, I keep going back to, what's Brady Martin going to be?
Yeah.
And how soon is he going to be that, if he's going to be what you hope? You know, things like that. But if you can start to show a promising young core, then I think absolutely. And you have this new direction now. Okay, we've got new guys in charge. They got this aggressive owner. You know, you've got new front office that has had success. Shoot, they even bring in Nick Saban to interview people, you know. And look at this young core. And Nashville, okay. All of a sudden, starts to look pretty good to people. This place should be a difference maker, but it has to. That's going to break ties. You got to be better on the ice to even get to a tie to be broken.
Well, somebody's bringing up on the text line, says no state income tax in Florida or Texas or Nevada too. It's not just Tennessee, right? And look at those teams. That's kind of the point. Like, look at Tampa, look at Florida and what they've done. Look at Vegas and what they're doing right now. Look at Dallas and how good they've been. It's not just as simple as that. Like, it's not just the state income tax. Because, by the way, there's no state tax in Seattle either, and they're not very good. So, like, it's not just that. But when you start thinking about destination places, there's not a ton of those. Like, you know, people, there's franchises in the NHL that are destination places for different reasons, right? Like, every team I just laid out there, like Vegas has the no state tax thing, and they're absolutely ruthless, and they're committed 100% to winning. Tampa and Florida, there's no state tax, great organizations. And by the way, the weather's pretty good too, right? Like, the weather factors into that too, and that matters in the NHL. There are other places, Joe, that, like, you know, you look at, for instance, Montreal. Montreal, I mean, you're certainly not going there for the weather, but you are going, and you're not going there for tax advantages, but you are going there for Original Six, fan base, team that's young and on the rise and really good. Like, there are different places around the league that are destination places for different reasons. You have advantages here in Nashville that really should help you when it comes to player acquisition, and really should help you when it comes to player acquisition, hopefully, for, you know, the next time around when you get in that position, for some younger guys than you saw last time from, like, Stamkos and Marchessault and Shea and those guys.
Yeah. And as someone who was born not in Canada, but not far from Canada, I grew up making snowmen. You know, even if you're from that area, you get sick of it. Yeah. And it's like, you know what? I'd like to go someplace where I don't have hell for winter, you know?
So, right. And, you know, it's not – Nashville's not Tampa.
Middle ground. Right.
But it's not that bad.
It's not 9 – it's not 103 and humid in July and August either, you know? It's a nice middle ground.
Yep. 615-737-1025. So Paul Bissonnette says, hey, Chris McFarland, he's going to turn the Predators into an absolute unit here in the next 3-4 years. What do you make of that? We'll take your thoughts on it. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Paul Bissonnette says on the Spit and Chicklets podcast that Chris McFarland might turn the Preds into a wagon here over the next 3-4 years. And one of the things he talked about was the desirability of playing here. There's going to be a lot of cap space that the Predators are going to have to operate with. Some of this, for sure, is going to be, you know, what are their young guys turn into? That's probably the most important part of all of this. But the Predators should have, over the next few years here, some good room to operate with Chris McFarland, to put his stamp on this team as to what that's going to look like. I mean, not that this means a ton now, Joe, because, again, this free agent crop is not great. But they do have $27.2 million in projected cap space right now. I mean, that's it's not a bad thing to have some cap flexibility moving forward here. We've talked about, like, the Duchesne thing. I think Duchesne's cap hit last year was like $6.5 million or something like that for the Predators. Well, now next year it moved, for the next 3 years, it's 1.5. So you're talking about a pretty dramatic reduction there. Yeah, it's on the books for 3 more years, but it's at $1.5 million per year there. Kyle Turris, who is still being paid by the Nashville Predators, is $2 million over the next 2 years here. So the point is, Joe, they do have some pretty good cap flexibility to work with over the next few years.
Kyle Turris, the Bobby Bonilla of Nashville.
Yes.
We should have been having a Kyle Turris day already. We need to have a Kyle Turris day.
I agree. Just collecting checks, man. It's not bad. You know, if you get
what's up, guys?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I would take somebody buying me out. You know, it's not a bad way to make a living in sports. Just, yeah, you're gonna pay me to not play? Sure.
Or pay me to go do Nick Saban's dry cleaning? Yes.
Yeah.
Brick by brick, pay me.
Exactly. Now, like, again, some of this would be, I mean, you would probably, if you're a Predators fan, like to look at the cap space situation and be like, well, it would be great to have like a younger player that you'd be worried about handing a massive contract out to because they're that good to worry about like your cap room here. So I understand that, but I'm just saying it's a pretty good space to be operating from in terms of your flexibility here moving forward here. And then we'll see, like, how aggressive is Chris McFarland going to be? That's the other thing, and that's what I don't know as we sit here today. Like, does he want to be super aggressive in the trade market right now? Does he want to wait and see kind of what he's got and then maybe formulate more of an aggressive plan at the deadline next year? Like, there's no doubt, Joe, it's going to require some level of aggression to get out of where you're at right now, right? And you're gonna have to be willing maybe to take some chances, maybe to move on from players that maybe deep down you don't want to move on from, but you got to flip your roster. Like, I'm really interested to see what his approach to this is going to be and how aggressive he tries to be in the short term.
Yeah, it will be very interesting. Now, if you end up moving beyond March or so,
yep,
if you end up moving like a key veteran piece here, then I think that's a signal to everybody. If one, next year, like, it's, yeah, everybody's been screaming for this. Well, okay, here you go. You're probably gonna have to have some pain on the ice, right? But that's part of the process. I mean, Loppy on the YouTube chat's like, if everything breaks, I see them being San Jose in 3 years. Well, to me, okay, well, they better be drafting a couple more great players in the meantime. Right.
Yep.
Some of these prospects right now in the pipeline are going to be best case scenarios.
Right.
Well, like more than one of them. I mean, San Jose, the future is extremely bright for them.
Well, and let me just tell you.
They have some guys who right now I don't see them in this organization.
Well, and let me just tell you, I mean, San Jose, I understand the comparison. They don't and are not going to have anybody like Celebrini. It's just not going to happen. Like Brady right. Martin, if Brady Martin turns into the best case, he's not going to be Celebrini, which is fine. He doesn't have to be. I'm just saying, like, he's not going to be that.
Right. So it will be interesting, though. Is he aggressive? Is it right away like, okay, we're going to shake this up? Or is it, like you said, go through next year and then the trading deadline is maybe more where you really have some serious changes. You could be looking at trading deadline sell-off and coach change in the matter of, you know, a few months, a year from now, you know, a year, less than a year from now, you know, between the March and summer period. I mean, I don't know if it's neither of those things. Well, then that probably means there's some things on the ice happening better than we would expect.
Yes, I would say so at that point. Look, I'm open to like a lot of range of possibilities here. I mean, there is the chance that some of these guys that they've been waiting on can come in and make pretty immediate impacts, right? Like, I don't know when Surin's going to get here. My guess is it'll be next year. But I watched that kid play. I think he might end up being pretty good in the NHL. There's a chance that, you know, when Brady Martin comes in, hopefully this year, he's more ready and he can make an impact. Like, I wouldn't expect him to put up, you know, 75 points or anything in his rookie year, but, you know, can you accelerate some of these guys? That's the other part of this is, like, you know, Molendijk, I would say last year, if you're a Predators fan looking at it, it was probably a disappointing year for Molendijk because you expected him to be on the team at some point, right? And he never did.
Yeah.
And he really never sniffed it. Now, there were some injuries that were involved in that, and there's a lot of things that went into it, but it would be great if it pretty early next year, and whether it's in training camp or not, but pretty early next year, he established himself that he's ready, right? Like, we talk a lot about forwards. They are in desperate need of a younger defenseman stepping into a role where you look like you can count on those guys moving forward. They're in desperate need of it, and he's got to be that guy. Like, Molendijk pretty soon needs to be that guy. So if you can accelerate some of these things, that's when you start talking about, like, best-case scenario. And it's not going to happen with all of them, but they do need it to happen with a few of them where pretty quickly they're ready to not only step into the NHL but be impactful players doing it.
Yeah, they got to have start having some of these things break their way. Some of it is like Chris McFarland comes in and it's like, you know, there's a few guys he's looking at like this needs to, you know, and if it doesn't, then the job is that much more difficult for him. We do have, as we talk about this whole new era, Robbie, we do have some people telling us that they're getting rid of their season tickets for different reasons on the text line. Now, Dennis is asking, it feels like it's become more difficult to just watch the Preds. Can you explain the broadcast deal for next season? My understanding is that it's absolutely better next year.
There's going to be basically a new channel created. It's going to be called The Spot. And it's Nashville 28. It's owned by News Channel 5. And it's going to be, you're going to be able to see the games on that. There's an app that they're going to be coming out with. The goal should, it should be way easier to access Predators games than it has been over the last 4 or 5 years. I would put it that way. So
see, Dennis,
I think the broadcast will be getting easier.
Yeah. And does this mean also we're going to get a little Layman Burton, you know, maybe, action on Preds, talking a lot of Preds there? Love both of those guys.
Maybe so.
Yeah. There we go.
Let's head to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ryan to the program. Ryan, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Good, buddy.
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well. I disagree. I think Scott Nichol is vastly overrated. Like, I don't think he developed the players that great. Like, I think the examples would be Fiala and Dante Fabro. You know, those are both first – were they both first-round draft picks? Is that right?
Yes, they were.
And, you know – I don't think he develops the talent that great. I would definitely, if you can reassess and get someone better than Scott Nichol, you know, I would definitely, you know, look at that for sure, because I don't think he's, you know, all that good, to be honest with you. Just my take. I mean, I'd love to hear you guys' take on it. So I'll listen off air. Thanks, guys.
Well, thanks, Ryan. I don't know that Scott Nichol had a whole lot to do with the selections of, you know, Dante Fabro and Kevin Fiala. I mean, you're going back 12 years in the Fiala instance there, and then, you know, Fabro was in 16 when he got drafted. So that's a
Fiala was really good.
Before he became assistant general manager.
Yeah, well, Fiala was really good, by the way. But yeah, the thing he brings up, I mean, look, I don't have the answer. I mean, but I think in some cases with some of these misses they've had, I think it's more a case of they missed on the prospect than they failed to develop the prospect.
Agreed. Well, and by the way, like, you know, it's not really Scott Nichol's job to develop him. He's in management. Right. So there's also that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Shut your effing mouth.
You know, it's down year and fantasy and this, that, and the third. I mean,
get your peanuts here.
Let's go, Scooby-Doo.
Travis, I swear, we'll throw you the ball every once in a while, okay, buddy?
Boy, what a scaredy dog. You still think there's something in that closet?
Go, New York, go, New York,
I can
go.
Respect.
Oh, no, we would not tolerate that sort of behavior in Knoxville.
Do you know your elbow from your ass?
Me kissing some ass?
You owe the fans an apology.
Yeah, I am raising my voice at you. It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Rapid Response Generators. Power when it matters most. And served by the Wine Cellar in Hendersonville. Joe, the floor is yours.
Thanks. It's good to be coming to you from this computer. did not anticipate that being the case Friday. So first of all, quick backstory for anybody who was listening to the show then, you would know this, but I mean, I think we add about, 200,000-300,000 listeners every day by the data I have.
Yep.
So catching people up. So in Knoxville in 2022, I covered the Tennessee-Missouri game. That was a real beaut of a game, by the way. And I went and got food afterward. I was probably in there for about an hour, ate dinner. And when I came out to my car, the window had been smashed. My luggage and my computer bag had been taken from the car, which is pretty terrifying. And you call in, you lock all the credit cards and all this stuff, and lock our credit, all these things. And it was pretty scary. It was pretty awful to lose all that stuff. I lost a lot of, Microsoft Word documents that had stuff in them. But anyway, so let's fast forward to Friday. Heading to a gas station not far from the studio. And, pump my gas. Get out. Nice morning. Nice sunny morning in Nashville. Pump my gas. Get in my car. Drive away from the pump. And as I'm leaving the gas station, there's a beep. It's like beep, and it's like, door ajar. And I'm like, what the heck? Okay, so I guess I didn't close my door. I closed that. It was fine. Then I realized it was the passenger door. I'm like, did Katie, when she got out yesterday, she didn't close it fully, and then it got loosened a little bit or whatever. Okay, fine, whatever. Close the door, boom, drive home. About 25 minutes later, going to grab my computer bag so I can start doing my other job, and it's nowhere to be found. And all of a sudden, it all hits me like, oh my God, someone just freaking stole my bag out of my car. Are you kidding me? So now it's just full-on panic, racing back to the gas station, call the police, I called Katie, Katie, help me, Katie, she's used to that. She and Caroline, like to call me a crash out. It was a full crash out situation, okay? Get to the, and I wish, as I'm telling this story, I wish that people could see what you guys saw.
Oh, yeah,
because
me too.
I went into the, talked to the manager. He's like, okay, let's go see. Let's go look. He goes to the video, rewinds to when I was there. It's truly incredible. Like you said, I think you were like, I keep watching this over and over. This is like some kind of movie, first of all, this guy in a red PT Cruiser, by the way, keep that in mind, folks.
No license plate.
Yeah. As I get out of my car, he's on the other side, okay, like on the other pumps on the other side, but in the same whatever area. He backs his car up. I'm sitting there, pumping my gas. Everything's fine. Oh, yay. Like a total moron, not noticing things. This guy creeps out of his car. He's got a mask on. You see him on the film looking under to see where my feet are. And he just goes, ding, 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 creeps, opens that door, grabs my computer bag into his car, and he's gone. And, of course, I'm sitting there watching. First of all, as I'm sitting there watching, and the manager of the gas station, he was great, but he's like, oh, my God, that's amazing. And I'm like, dude, I've lost my computer. Can we not, think this is – I've never seen anything like this. I'm like, yeah, neither have I. And it happened to me. So just truly unbelievable. I kept watching it over and over again. It's just like, I cannot believe that this happened, that this guy had the and again, this guy's a pro. There's no license plate on the back of the car. Clearly, this guy does this stuff, right?
Yes.
So long story short, the police officer's great. He, you can track your AirPods, which were in the bag. Track him. He goes. I'm like, hopefully this guy, this is where the guy had thrown out the AirPods. Again, this guy's a pro. Had thrown out the AirPods. And so I got those back. I was like, I'm glad I got my AirPods back. That's something, right? So in the meantime, it's like, you're never going to see that computer again, but I called work. It's locked. It's encrypted. You can't do anything with it. So it's like, you're just sitting there and it's like, I truly can't believe this happened. You go home trying to figure out getting a new computer, all this stuff. And a few hours later, loud knock on the door. A guy, the thief, apparently realized this is pointless. It's worthless. I can't get into the computer. Threw the bag in a Walmart parking lot. And this guy picked it up. Of course, because I'm smart, there's a bill with my address in it in the bag. And the guy just brought it to me and he's like, he had called the police too. It was incredible. So it was like a day of be careful out there. There are people out there who are looking to rip you off, man. And it could happen in the most innocuous situation. Also, The guy like, I mean, I tried to pay that. I'm like, dude, take some here, take $40, please. Yeah. He's like, no. He wouldn't take the money. Pretty amazing to see like people doing something like that. And so that's my story. Not really a rant, but I will say, why the hell does this happen to me?
It was amazing. Like, as you said, I've seen the video footage of it. Ian has too. And it's legitimately like out of a movie. I mean, the dude crouches out of his car, basically gets on the ground to identify what direction your feet are pointed as to whether or not he's going to approach the car, sneaks up, opens the door, throws the bag in the car, and then drives off. Like, it's pretty incredible. And I told you this, like, you know, in a lot of ways, I'm glad that you didn't notice it, because my thought process kind of is, if you're bold enough to start like robbing cars in broad daylight when you know there are video cameras everywhere, you're probably not that far away from like pulling a gun or anything. So I'm probably glad that you didn't notice it, and it ended up, you know, working out fine. I mean, you got it back, but it's truly one of the wildest videos I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. It's like someone like that, like, yeah, this is not his first rodeo, you know, so maybe a confrontation isn't the best thing. I will say, if there's a lesson for everybody, and I mean, it's funny because yesterday, even like Caroline's with me, and I'm like, we get gas, and I'm like, lock the door. Do not ever pump your gas with an unlocked car.
Yeah.
Okay. Ever, ever, ever. I never will again. And yeah, it's also, yeah, before I got it back, I'm like, God, because sometimes I put my computer, I actually put it like driver's side backseat. It's just random. Like sometimes I put it driver's side backseat. Sometimes I just get in and I throw it over on the other seat, you know?
Yeah.
Today was the day, you know, that I put it on the passenger side. Also, that I just happened to time it perfectly to be at the pump with this guy. So meanwhile, Skyler says, I heard Stillman just got a red PT Cruiser.
That guy's too agile.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think Stilly can quite move as well as this guy did. But, yeah, lock your car.
Lock your locks.
Yeah, that's right. It is. Lock your locks. Listen to the wise man, Paul Kaharsky. Lock your locks. And but, yeah, I got this computer back. Nothing's changed with it. I mean, I wiped it down. But, you know, it seems to be fine.
I will say, after the situation worked out nicer for you, I did watch that video about 35 times. It's an incredible piece of film. You just stand there watching the gas pump, and just a full-on crime going on behind you. And I can't wait to show Kuharsky on Wednesday. It's going to be epic.
Oh, nice day out here in Nashville, huh? Hey, everybody, how you doing? Just pumping my gas.
And the video that you showed us has your commentary on it, which just makes it even better. I laughed a lot about it this weekend, I freely admit.
Yeah, like, I wish I took video the first time we watched it, because, again, that's when the guesses manager like, oh, my God. Yeah, the second time I'm like, my God, I'm an idiot. Look at me.
Well, we're glad it's worked out well. Yeah. That is the second time since we've been doing a radio show that you've gotten your car robbed. I'm really hoping there's not a third.
Yeah, third time's the charm. I don't know what that means, but I finally get popped. I don't know.
Corey Curtis will be with us coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.